This is Danny and Gallant on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app and 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Danny O'Neill and Paul Gallant.
Time to put on the show.
It is Danny and Gallant.
Final hour of our show here today on Wednesday. It's been a blast. We've talked a lot about a lot of different things, including baseball and his potential to come back, all of the different hurdles, but we got something a little bit special right now. He's one of my favorite athletes ever. A guy that I first met when I was, 18 years old, the University of Washington. He wore the number 9 there. He had a big cowboy collar, the linebacker neck roll. In the professional ranks, he went and wore number 36, which was 3 plus 6 equaling 9. Also the number he was drafted in, and one of Paul Gallant's very favorite players. We are happy and excited to welcome Lawyer Malloy to Danny and Gallant. Lawyer, I would like to introduce you to one of your bigger fans, and he is Paul Gallant, new to the area, and he loves him some Lawyer Malloy.
What's up, Gallant? How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, Lawyer. This is amazing. So I grew up in the greater New England area, and I grew up watching those late 90s, early 2000 New England Patriots. And I actually had a poster up in my room. I don't know if you remember the making of this poster. It was you and Ty Law, and it was The Firm. You were a lawyer.
The Firm, yeah.
He was Law. It was fantastic. Wow, this is awesome. Joining us.
We had the three-piece suit. We looked like two big curtains standing side by side on that poster. I think we had like 8 buttons down. Like it was ridiculous. But yeah, man. What's going on with you guys?
Not much. How are you doing, Lawyer?
Well, I'm up earlier than usual. Thank you, Danny.
I apologize for that. I do apologize for that.
That's you a little keeping... on me. Sorry. Thanks, Lawyer. Appreciate
it's
you.
No,
Lawyer, how have you been keeping busy during the quarantine?
I mean, it's easy around my house. I have 4 daughters and a wife. 3 of the daughters are at home, so we wake up in the morning and we try to do some the scholastic work with the kids. My wife is out there, wanting the kids to get back to their teachers because she didn't sign up for this. And then they have to go outside and do a little bit of some exercise, either go out in the batting cage, get on a jump rope, go shoot some hoops, do something like that. And then we let them go out and do their things at the end of the day, watch their TV shows and get on the iPad or iPhone. So enough of a schedule to keep us busy.
If you were still playing, how do you think that you would handle the current offseason that all these players are now facing?
Well, first of all, that long explanation about what I'm doing now shows you I'm definitely not a tough, mean football player anymore, right, Danny? The guy that was in the locker room.
I don't believe that for a second, Lawyer. I believe that any moment that you can break it off and be old school Lawyer and you get some of the fire breathing dragon coming out.
Yeah, don't wake up the bear. You know how that is. But I'm chilling now, man. What was your question?
So what would you be doing now to get ready for the year? It feels like this is perhaps the most challenging offseason that players have ever had to face in terms of just they're not going to be able to really potentially have practices, go up against each other, crush people the way that you did.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about sports, but it's a world pandemic. It's not only asking the athletes, the NFL players, NBA players right in the middle of their season, MLB. It's not only affecting athletes. This is affecting anyone that can breathe air. I'm not even thinking about sports right now. I want my kids to be healthy.
Lawyer, I have this. I don't know if this is a hard question or not. I've always wondered who was the recipient of the hardest hit you delivered in your football career.
Ooh, I hit Marshall Faulk one time, and this was kind of a situation where I shouldn't have been going all out, and it's kind of like a unwritten. Well, the game, I can say it now. The Pro Bowl now is crap. They're out there playing flag football and two-hand touch and, you know, shooting commercials and stuff while the game is going on. But I remember it was a year that Marshall Faulk and the Rams had just won the Super Bowl, and I was at the Pro Bowl. And the only problem is that I hadn't got paid, and I was up for a big payout with the Patriots or whatever. So I was still out there competing, and he really wasn't, because he was a Super Bowl champion, and we were in Hawaii, and it's an unwritten code. You don't go all out. And he came through that hole looking all sweet, and the crowd was roaring, and I was trying to get paid, and he paid for it.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
Just had to foreshadow what was going to take place in Super Bowl 36.
The way Marshall looked at me when I was like, oh, crap. After I hit him, I was like, oh, crap. I'm not really supposed to do that. And he looked at me, and I reached my hand down, and he almost didn't want to have me help him get up.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it was the funny stuff.
I've still got an article. I was at UW at the same time Lawyer was. Lawyer doesn't remember me because I was the pesky, annoying little journalist. But they would have these conference calls with players.
Look at you now, Danny.
Yeah, look at me now. It's been all downhill from there. They had these conference calls with opposing players, and there was Keyshawn Johnson. And I've got a story in which I asked Keyshawn if he was afraid of getting hit by Lawyer. His answer was, I didn't say that. I said, when he hits you, you'll feel it. But I could just imagine being like, Keyshawn, do you think you're afraid of Lawyer Malloy coming and hitting you? Because, man, I love Lawyer Malloy back in the day. It was pretty funny.
Danny, do you still have that Run DMC sweatsuit that you wore down in Atlanta?
I do still
love that
suit. Yeah. I look like Grimace, man. I look absolutely like Grimace.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Hey, Gallant, can I ask you a question?
Yes, please do.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, I'm a hometown guy, so I grew up watching the Seahawks. Everybody knows my love for the Seahawks. But every time somebody hears my name, they always associate me with the city and the team organization that I helped build from ground zero all the way to
100%.
Now being called a dynasty. Okay, so all that's fine and dandy. From me to you, what do you think that the Patriots are going to do this year without Tom Brady?
It's a great question. It's a great question. You know, I don't think things are going to go so well for them this year. They seem to have a lot of faith in Jared Stidham, and I feel like they're going to need to strike the lottery for Jared Stidham to have the kind of ability that we've seen from a Jimmy Garoppolo or even a Jacoby Brissett. So I don't know how it's going to work. And I'm sure from your time in New England, which I know with Bill Belichick was quick. And by the way, when the day you were released, I cried. I've heard about it. I was listening late night to JT the Brick on sports radio, because I did this every single night, and I could not fall asleep because I could not fathom it. Because I was like, wow, going into this year, New England's going to have Lawyer Malloy and Rodney Harrison. This is like the greatest safety tandem ever. And all of a sudden, that was it. And then you kick their ass
like a week later. Gallant, thank you, sir. I appreciate it. But let's get back to it.
I don't think they're going to do so well. Look at filibustering. How do you think I think they're going to do?
Lawyer's a fantastic interviewer. He's get you back. Answer the question, Gallant.
It's not going to go so well. So I mean, we all know the answer to that, don't we?
Gallant, when we talk about the pandemic and every, you know, we talk about the NFL and wanting to see the NFL. Now, the Patriots, I think we've all knew this moment was going to come where either Tommy retired. I thought he was going to retire 4 years ago, and then I just stopped, you know, guessing. Retire or move on. I don't think anybody really had the move on part, like where we saw him in a different uniform. I know I wasn't thinking about like that. I just thought he would retire and go get with Giselle and
same.
Wherever. But anyways, with the pandemic, and Tommy and Belichick and Kraft all separated. I think everybody's been waiting for 20 years to see what this year is going to be like, and it's upon us. You think about how strong locker rooms like the Patriots and the Seahawks are. That's about continuity and getting together in the off season and stuff like that. There's no off season, so and I know that Belichick is and Pete Carroll with the all in and do your job. I mean that's what the off season is for, is to build that creed into young athletes. So if there's any team that's going to be affected by the pandemic more because they don't have a Tom Brady to keep that, that glue together or build that atmosphere with the new guys shaking their hands when they walk through the door, like this is the Patriot way. If there's any team that is going to affect harder than that, is going to be the Patriots, because they're already going to have to create new relationships anyways. I think the Seahawks would be fine, just because, those guys have been together for a long time. Coach Carroll always goes out and get his kind of guys to go into that locker room. So they're really, ready to go. If there's any team built for to come out of a situation like this, it's the Seahawks. The Patriots, this pandemic happened at a wrong year for them because it takes time to build that thing that special that we have for 20 years.
I'm with you on that front. And I think for those who don't know, it is important to know that, the first three Patriots Super Bowls were won, as Lawyer said, because of the culture that was built up by that Patriots defense with all of those players that were drafted in the late 90s. It started with Willie McGinnis, Ty Law, Teddy Bruschi, amongst others. I mean, and it just ended up being this unbelievable defensive core. And it was why you guys had one of the best defenses in the league over those seasons. How did the Seahawks create that same kind of culture? Because obviously you need some talent, but it does feel like you guys bonded together in such a way that you were able to create that sort of culture that allowed for a quarterback who had been a fourth stringer the year before to come in and help guide the team ultimately to a championship. So how does this young Seahawks defense, which does have Bobby Wagner, does have KJ Wright, get that same kind of culture, I guess, defensively again?
Well, like we talked about, Gallant, in 1996 in Boston, there was no culture in the Patriots locker room. And once we, got the right kind of coach in there, got a once-in-a-lifetime quarterback to go along with the pieces that we already had, we started building the culture through Belichick, pounding it in, do your job, all that stuff. Everything you see is real. Flash forward to Pete Carroll. Pete was in Boston before Belichick came there and was coach. So I had 3 years with him. He was not the same guy there that he was after he went down to USC, had some success. When he came back was actually my last year, and I can immediately see the turnover or what was different. Like, why was this guy so successful at the college ranks or whatever, and can he be successful this time around? Am I going to see any differences? From day one, I did. I think that year, there was like 277 transactions that year, Danny. Like, there was guys going in and out of the locker room. So I saw a coach that went down there, found his recipe for, success. And man, he's smiling in everybody's face on TV. But even myself, I was going in the locker room, making the shirts, making sure that Malloy was still on top of the thing. So he started me coming from a championship atmosphere team, now a dynasty. I knew what it took to build from ground up. What I saw out of Pete back in 2010 was, he's different. I always knew he wanted to win, but I said, he's different. So he competed, went out and got a Marshawn Lynch or whatever. We snuck up in the Super Bowl 7 and 9 to give those young guys experience. And two of those young guys that was on that team was Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor that I got to work personally with. And we started, that's when I was like, I knew what Pete was trying to accomplish. It was about building the atmosphere first, getting the right type of guys in. He knows that he knows how to develop, but not, he's ready to go do this thing. And what we've seen out of the Seahawks every year is with a real special, you know, quarterback, special coach, GM, they're on the same page, similar to what they have out in New England. It's a team that can go compete for a championship every single year. They got the components, they got the atmosphere, and they got the coaching. And they definitely have the city behind them in the 12s.
He is Lawyer Malloy. Lawyer, you're always one of my favorite guys, and it's really cool that you came on and surprised Paul Gallant. Paul,
this is awesome. Thank you.
Do you have any last questions for Lawyer?
It's more observations again. I'm still mad that they cut you. Like that legitimately angered me. I know that everything ended up working out, but I remember. So I had just moved down to Florida with my mom. And I had just moved to the Tampa Bay area, and the Bucs were Super Bowl champs. And for whatever reason, I decided to come in and just talk all sorts of trash about how New England was better than them, and that the Buccaneers weren't good. It worked out really well. I made a lot of friends. And I thought going into the year, like, all right, they're going to make it happen. And then they cut you. And then I'm watching the game, like, the next day, and you sacked Brady once at least. I don't know if you sacked him a couple of times. And I was so pissed, just so angry, watching you just completely destroy and dismantle, like, 31-0 New England in that game. Like, it was awful. It was an emotional week for me. So I just wanted to let you know how mad I was about that.
They turned it around, though.
They did. They did. It was amazing that they were able to do that. But seriously, thank you so much.
So
let me ask you
a question. Pause.
All right, I'll answer it this time.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah, thank you. We're talking about me and my situation, Patriots or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Will you get a Tom Brady Buccaneers jersey and wear it?
It's a good question.
I already got a Tom Brady Tampa Bay shirt. Oh, it's Tom Brady's face on the Bucko Bruce logo. Yes,
it's got
I've already got it.
The old Bucks, like the floppy hatted orange sherbet looking mascot.
With the feather,
I bought it the first day I saw it. Yeah, oh yeah, he looks real flamboyant.
A French pirate, of course.
That's hilarious.
Lawyer, seriously, thank you so much for joining us.
Definitely.
Oh, so are you going to get the jerseys up? I haven't bought a jersey in a while. I will seriously consider it now that they got rid of the alarm clock.
He's dodging the question. He's ducking.
That's not an answer.
He's ducking.
Guess what? No, I don't buy jerseys anymore.
Grill him, lawyer. Grill him.
Man, I've never been interrogated like this.
Yeah,
drink some water.
Lawyer, thank you so much, man. It's great to talk to you. Give my best to your family. You have a beautiful family, your wife Claudine and all your girls. It's really awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay,
that is Lawyer Malloy. All right.
Thanks,
Lawyer Malloy. Did you enjoy that, Paul?
That was awesome. Thank you. Thank you for the surprise. That was very, very cool. I know that there was a lot of self-indulgence from me on that front, but
I
don't care.
That's
a blast.
The point.
Yes.
That's
the
point.
Thank you, Jess. Idea. So did you cry? Like, were legitimately crying in your bed?
I was really – legitimately, I cried. You can ask Kitsy about this. I was extremely, like, emotional about the Patriots during this time. Psychopathically. Like, I didn't handle losses well until probably I turned, like – 20. I really had a hard time when they lost, and it's something that I have worked on over time, but especially that year when I had first moved down, like, that was one of the stipulations of moving, was that assuming I did all the chores, I would have NFL Sunday ticket in the back house, and I'd be able to watch the Patriots playing, assuming, again, I did all these things. And I remember the first day, like, I when they lost to Buffalo, I was throwing the remote all over the place. Like, I was absolutely losing my mind. I have still bad temper issues. Like, yesterday I was getting mad about scrolling through Facebook to find something that had been posted like 4 years ago, and I got mad then. But man, it was bad. Like, it was embarrassing how embarrassing I would get when the team lost. It's not a whole lot better now, but yeah, that week between the loss and him getting cut, it was a very emotional week in the Paul Gallant and Kitsy household.
Paul, how many different players like end up where you are from where you were? Because this is kind of weird. I mean, we've got Dwayne Brown, Jadeveon Clowney, Lawyer Malloy. I mean, where you were at the time and all of a sudden here in Seattle. Like, I feel like you have a pipeline.
It's bizarre. It is bizarre. Like, the amount of people that, and the way that things have gone, like, the amount of people that, yes, have randomly just ended up in the same corner of the universe as me, or that I've been in the same corner of the universe as at some point, it is something else.
Lawyer is one of the very best athletes to ever come out of this state. He's someone, he obviously played pro football at an exceptionally high level, and is, I would think, someone who should get some Hall of Fame consideration. The length of his career was phenomenal.
And he was one of the best safeties in the game.
For a long time. I mean, for more than a decade.
Yeah.
He also played pro baseball, which most people don't know. He was drafted, and it was with the Indians organization. He was still in college. He went and played for the Indians one summer as he was exploring that. I mean, really just a remarkable player. And he does have a unique insight. The stuff he talked about with Pete Carroll and Pete being different, I hadn't heard him say that before. The changes he saw, because he played for Pete for 3 years in New England and made his first Pro Bowl under Pete. And I think that we've seen Pete really knows secondary players especially, and had a large part to do with that. But when he came back and Lawyer was their starting strong safety that first year in 2010, and was someone, the fact that he came back with a different approach, that was something new that I had not heard before.
And it's something that, you know, shows how good he was. I imagine he could have played another sport if he wanted to. And he was so good as a safety. I doubt he would have enjoyed playing it to the same degree those other sports that he did football, because you can't wallop people when you're playing baseball. You can't wallop people playing basketball either. Maybe hockey or lacrosse.
My favorite play of his ever, and this gets completely lost because they missed the stupid field goal. They had a game against Oregon, and it was my junior year, so it was 1995. And Oregon was here. The previous year, the Ducks had gone to the Rose Bowl, and it was this really hard-fought. It's the game that made this the rivalry it is. It's the game. There's all sorts of talk about the Duck players spitting on the different bowl plaques that were in the tunnel leading up to the Huskies locker room. There was a Duck player who, after the Washington's field goal kicker missed two field goals, was made a noose out of towels that he was using to show that the guy choked, like essentially like faux hanging himself on the bench, like standing up. And late in that game, the Ducks are trying to run the clock out, and Lawyer Malloy came in and forced a fumble, like just comes rocketing in and just rips this ball out. I remember the ball shooting up. He comes out of the ball with the pile. Like, it was one of the single most, like, just dominant, like, Debo, it's my ball moment. Unfortunately, the kicker missed the kick, because that should have set up the win, and Washington ended up losing. But man, it was such, just like, where you're just like, that guy is such a dominant player. I love Lawyer Malloy.
Yeah, I do too. And those early Patriot teams that he was a part of, like the ones before the ones that won the Super Bowl, I mean, they're one of the reasons that I decided to get into sports. Like, that, those teams were just really good on the defensive side. They hit people, and I'll never forget them. Those weird blue pinstripe jerseys that they had in the late 90s. Lawyer Malloy wearing 36, Ty Law wearing 24. They had this very specific dance that they would do after every single interception. They would play on the Jumbotron. Remember the little chant that the monkeys in The Wizard of Oz would do? You know?
Yeah. Yo, yo, oh.
Like, whenever they got an interception, the Patriot defensive backs would all get together, like, in this little quadrant, and they would all do this ridiculous dance together. And those are, like, some of my most fond memories as a kid, just watching them whenever they were able to get a pick and do that.
It is Danny and Gallant. Coming up next, we are going to go around the NFL. That's ahead.
You're listening to Danny and Gallant,
powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios
on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, here are your hosts, Danny O'Neill and Paul Gallant.
Time for us to get to around the NFL. We got a little bit late to it today, but here we are. We're going to run around the league.
It's time to go around the NFL. Brought to you by Toyota of Puyallup. The bottom line on the biggest stories in the NFL every morning at 9:15 with Danny and Gallant.
Today's an exceptional day.
Jess.
Yes.
Be having Jess come here in just a second, hopefully. Fresh
I'm sorry. That was my fault. That was my fault. My bad. My bad. My bad. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Good in the hood.
Okay, good. That was super fun. Sometimes the puppet master. So there are some things that happened, including some bad blood in the state of Pennsylvania, or should I say bad hair follicles, because Big Ben actually got a haircut after looking like a mountain man. On top of the human hamburger that he apparently represents. The governor not happy with it.
Yeah, the governor didn't like this. They're in the yellow phase of reopening in Allegheny. Some people going with numbers, some people going with colors. Allegheny County going with colors. Yellow phase, no salons open, but he went to Swickley to have his friend cut his hair. Basically, the governor said that's not great. He wouldn't advise doing that. The attorney for the barber said, look, they're friends. He just cut his hair. It's not like he opened. Ben didn't pay him for the service. I think we can all agree that the greater good here was for Ben to be cleaned up. I think we can make an exception here and said that the importance of Ben Roethlisberger regionally and nationally and the way he looked, it was, look, even in these trying times, you needed him to look more presentable. It was getting scary. It's amazing how much better he looked. Like, seriously, like, he looked...
He didn't even cut it that much.
No, but he looked 20 years younger, and he looked like he was ready. I wondered... I looked like he'd backed into an air hose and gotten puffed up before the shave and the haircut. He looks much better.
He reflected Western Pennsylvania's roots as frontiersman in that spot. Now he has gotten rid of it, and on top of that, he is cheating. He is cheating against the American population. He gets to cut his hair and look fresh, and the haircut actually does look pretty good. And I have to stay here with this long mane of hair on the side of my head.
That's right.
It is taking advantage of the competition of the United States of America. He is already someone who has been suspended by the NFL. He needs to be suspended a year, and the Steelers need to lose at least one draft pick. The NFL has punished for less, and this is a serious crime. He actually broke the law. Suspend him. 3 years, at least.
Nah, it's
maybe four.
It's good. He's fine. It's all good.
Nope. Wrong.
Ryan Fitzmagic is excited that the Dolphins took Tua Tagovailoa in the draft, but he says he still wants to play. How do you think that all works out?
I think it works out perfect. He can start the first couple games. If you're Miami, you've got a guy that's capable of playing football. It's not going to embarrass. You know that Ryan Fitzpatrick is not your long-term quarterback, but it gives you a little bit of cushion. And if things go well, you could conceivably sit Tua his entire rookie year and not be worse off for it. And chances are, at some point, history being what it is, Fitzpatrick's going to go in a ditch, right? You just wait him to steer into that ditch. And then you bring in Tua. It's a great situation.
It really is. And, you know, normally I'd say throw a quarterback right into the fire, especially if they are a top 10 draft pick like Tua is. But I think that the Dolphins have to make sure that they're careful with him with all of the injury concerns that he has attached to him right now. And, you know, you say Fitzpatrick can take you into a ditch. It is true. The ups compared to the downs with Fitzpatrick or something else. I mean, I covered him as the starting quarterback for a team 1 year, the Texans, and I mean, they went 9-7, but there was one week where he threw six touchdowns, and there was another week where I think he threw three or four interceptions. The ups and downs were very difficult. Yeah, it was against the Steelers. I think he threw 3.5. But he's fun. I really love him. He's one of the most well-respected players in the NFL. Anyone will tell you this, he's tough as nails. I hope he does get to continue to play, because I enjoy watching Ryan Fitzpatrick play. I know he's not a great quarterback, but he is an entertaining quarterback.
Well, Tom Brady and the Buccaneers held an informal workout down in Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to hear more and more of this. It's probably going to do players better to keep this mum rather than start advertising it, because you're going to start to get a lot of people scrutinizing how many people were there, what constitutes social distancing. But we're going to see more and more of this. Like, players are going to start getting together and start practicing. That is going to happen.
Yeah, and look, it's Florida as well, so different laxed standards comparatively. The place where he practiced is a place that I actually used to play against in high school, Berkeley Prep. And I have a story. It might be a little graphic, but my junior year, we played Berkeley Prep. They came to our school, and the big offensive lineman for Berkeley Prep, who I believe would go on to play at the college level, I forget his name, he came into our bathroom, and he punished the plumbing, and he didn't flush.
Oh.
Berkeley Prep.
Excuse me?
Ew.
Yes. 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 And I hate Berkeley Prep because of it, and I'm a little offended that Tom Brady decided to practice on the hallowed grounds of Berkeley Prep.
Did you guys just let him get away with it?
We came into the locker room as he was walking out. He had apparently gone over. What are we going to do? What am I going to do? What was I going to do? The guy was like 270 pounds in high school. Like, he knew he could get away with it. It was ridiculous.
There's a group of you guys, right? Yeah, like, that's, I don't know if you can let that pass. Like, that is a weird way to assert your dominance.
It was three. I mean, what can you do? What can you do, though? It's before a game. Like, can you get in a fight? Like, you're not going to play if that happens. It was in the middle of the, like, he walks from the locker room into the school gymnasium to the locker room where they were actually getting changed in. But he punished our toilet. And, I mean, you're right, Danny. We should have done something about it. In fact, like, I saw that story,
guys,
and all of a sudden, bad memories of came back.
Let me guess, you guys did not win the game.
No, we got killed. 31-7. We lost.
Oh, my God.
We scored, at least.
Is that what the kids call an alpha move? Like, is that an alpha move?
Definitely.
What quarter did you score? Was it victory cigar? Was it like, hey, you know, like...
It was the second.
2.5 minutes left. Oh, okay.
I believe
so
it was
still
the second,
in it.
But we were sort of in it. Yeah, we were barely in it. We were awful the first month of the year, every single season that we were playing. We'd get better as the season went along. We were kind of like the Seahawks, except for we'd also get killed in the playoffs. But, yeah, Berkeley Prep, man. I hate Berkeley Prep and where Tom Brady practiced entirely because of that one story, and I'm a little insulted that Brady practiced there. Why not practice at Shorecrest? Why not? It's much better.
That is around the NFL, including an unnecessary potty story, but one that was quite amusing.
Danny.
Yeah, meaning. It is. Just it meaning. Is. It's a great question of what exactly
like
you should poop. Do. Okay. It's Danny.
I think I was the one that stood this one into the ground. Sorry.
it's Danny and Gallant. It's time for us to raise flags, throw flags, pick them up. We'll do it next.
From the pocket and flags everywhere.
Flag on the play.
Now there's a flag down.
Every morning at 9:45 with Danny and Gallant. Brought to you by Carter Volkswagen.
If the noise persists, the defense will be charged with a timeout.
Flag on the play.
It is time for us to throw flags, pick up flags, whatever the cause may call for. I think I'd like to go ahead and start. I'm going to raise a flag to Ben Roethlisberger. Big Ben got a shave and a haircut. He looks presentable. He looks like someone who, I think that might have prolonged his career 3 years. Given how he looked, and he had vowed not to shave or cut his hair until he could throw a football again, I didn't know if he's going to play this year, given the way he looked. Then all of a sudden I saw a picture of him in the barber's chair. Yeah, he looks like he's ready to go. Saw Juju Smith-Schuster making a little he's back. It's like, yeah, good move, Ben.
On a serious note, it's a good haircut. Like, he looks good.
And, he does not look good, Paul. No, he does not.
It's good. It's a good haircut.
I mean, if you're speaking in comparative terms, then fine. But no, Ben Roethlisberger never
looks
good.
Maybe that was the trick, Jess. Maybe that was the trick.
Is he... Was your description that he's the personification of a hoagie?
Yeah, any sort of large sandwich.
Would it be a hot sandwich, like a meatball sandwich?
It would be a hot one that was left out too long. That's what it is. It's like a pastrami on rye with a lot of cheese that sat in the deli counter for a long time, not under a heat lamp. No vegetables.
That's how he looked. Now he looks much more cleaned up. He looks much more presentable. He looks like
now he's like
sandwich.
A meatball sub, okay? A much neater sandwich if you do it right.
He looks fantastic.
Ah, gross.
Lydia, would you like to administer a flag on this fine morning?
I would love to. I'm going to raise a flag. Danny and I talk a lot about hip-hop on the show. We're both huge hip-hop fans. And one of my favorite current groups is Run the Jewels. They were supposed to go on tour this year. It's going to be pretty epic with Rage Against the Machine. And unfortunately, they can't do that because of COVID-19. So they're doing this awesome thing called Wash the Jewels, which is they created these like limited edition T-shirts featuring their lyrics that have like the hand washing motions, like remember to wash your hands during the COVID crisis. And 100% of the proceeds go to their touring crew who is unable to make money right now. So I just think it's awesome when people have that sense of community and also are aware of like everyone else that helps them to succeed and helps them to do well. So they have this really awesome message posted on their website shouting out all the people that make their tours happen and now doing something to raise money for it. So you can get a cool limited edition Run the Jewels T-shirt and support their tour crew in the meantime. And also order RTJ for pre-order it because it comes out on June 5th.
Which is pretty awesome. They just released the track list for that. Run the Jewels composed of El Producto LP and Killer Mike. It's a pretty phenomenal group. Like, they've been great. I've realized that I've been listening to LP for like 20 years now. That's like some... Wow. He has my favorite titled hip-hop album ever, which Lydia mentioned earlier this week. I'll sleep when you're dead.
So brutal. Whoa. I love it.
I know. Yeah,
he also has another album called Cancer for Cure. Yeah. Like, it's just, LP from New York.
Yeah. LP's hardcore. Used to have a record label called Def Jux, but I'll sleep when you're dead. I've always thought it's the most aggressive album title ever. That's a good one, Lydia. That's fantastic.
That is a really good one.
Jessamine.
Yes. I want to raise a flag to you guys for participating in, I guess there's shenanigans that I've been pulling. I have had a lot of fun producing this show, ever since its inception, but it's been a lot more straightforward in the past, and now I enjoy how much creativity you guys allow me, and it's been really fun. So when it comes to surprising you guys with guests, it's like for me, it's like for Christmas, I get really excited about giving gifts, not getting them. Like, I don't want anything. I just want to give gifts. It's so much fun for me. And so that's kind of the same sort of excitement that I get when it comes to connecting you guys with people that you love. And I feel like that's kind of how I live my life. And this show is just a microcosm of that. So I just appreciate you all being on board with me living in that space and doing it. And I hope our listeners enjoy it to some extent as much as I do.
I can say this. Thank you, Jess. It makes it a lot of fun.
Yes, it really does.
I just want people to have fun with us.
It was very fun. Talking to Lawyer Malloy and hearing about Paul crying himself to sleep on his big pillow. Oh, look at him. He's going to cry himself to sleep tonight on that big pillow of his.
It was a sad day. It was a really sad day on my tiny little bed. By the way, I still had a single bed. Like, we're not talking about a full mattress. It was still like a single bed that I had at the time. Oh, made things even worse.
Hardest you've ever cried after a sporting loss?
Ooh, that's hard. Like I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can think of it.
Mine. 1985 NCAA tournament final. Georgetown loses to Villanova. For reasons that remain unclear to this day, I was a huge Georgetown fan. Loved John Thompson's Hoyas.
Gross. What's wrong?
Yeah,
with you?
Loved them. Oh, loved Reggie Williams,
disgusting.
Patrick Ewing, Ralph Dalton. I can go on for days. David Wingate, who most people know here is, he was kind of like this rank and file sort of Sonics player with an ugly jump shot. David Wingate, dominant college player. When they lost to Villanova, I remember very clearly my mom telling me I had to go take a bath. Yeah, go take a bath, and I kept just crying. And she just looks at me and she goes, "Danny, die a thousand deaths, why don't you?" Because each time they start to come back, and then I
and they're going to lose again.
Danny, die 1,000 deaths. Why don't you? We'll always remember that. Yeah.
What a lie.
Oh, I know. My mom dropping the hammer on a 10-year-old Danny O'Neill.
Not on that same topic, but back to what Lydia had said. One of my friends is actually someone who was joining Rage for the tour that they were going to be on, and I had just seen him in Vegas this past winter. He used to work on Aerosmith's tour, and he is one of the people that that will actually benefit. And he's one of my favorite people. He's a former football coach, and that's how I know him. But he is a tour runner and very heavily involved, and you bringing that up really made me think about how many people are affected, because in my mind, he's always been fine. Oh, he works with Queen. He works with Aerosmith, but he literally doesn't have work right now. And he's at, higher in the food chain than a lot of people that are out of work. So thank you for bringing that up. I think it's really important to recognize, we talk a lot about the different workers who are on the front line and still working, but it is important to recognize people who are completely desolate right now when it comes to employment.
Agreed.
It's one of those industries, too, that who knows when it will get back to normal, because in terms of how groups and how social activities move forward from here. So, yeah, if you can find a way and you're able to contribute, it's awesome.
Yeah,
who knows
and I think
what
a lot of people
is going to be normal.
Yeah, for real.
Exactly.
I think it gets glamorized. Gets glamorized, too. And I think that when you say you work for quote unquote industry, it sounds like you've got it made. And there are people who are just, down in the pits working on every little detail that get overlooked sometimes. So I'm really glad you brought that up.
Paul, do you have a flag?
Ready to get to Lawyer Malloy. Because not only did he come on and surprise me, but he also acted like the lawyer, the fictional lawyer that he was in that poster that I used to have in my bedroom, which I tweeted at Gallant Says, if you want to check it out, The Firm, by basically interrogating me and calling me on my BS when I was trying to filibuster around questions that I didn't want to give a straight answer to.
It was pretty great. Like, he wasn't having it.
Right.
Lawyer Malloy, several different points. He is the most no-nonsense athlete I've ever interviewed. He'll be like, this is a terrible question. What are you asking me? It's great. I love Lawyer. So straightforward. That's going to do it for us. We do want to thank Lawyer Malloy for joining us. One of the best guys to come out of this state. A great athlete, great dad, wonderful family. Michael Bumpus for Blue 42. The Professor John Clayton was with us for the morning drive. Jessamine McIntyre and Lydia Cruz are the one who keep us balanced, sane, and they're kind of like the carbon offset for the ridiculousness that Paul and I provide. Like, they're the vegetable that goes down with the donut, as Mitch Hedberg would say, and like, it's cool, they're with me. Like, they offset our zaniness. And he's Paul Gallant, and he's somehow stopped crying himself to sleep on that big pillar of his.
I finally did, and he's Danny O'Neill. Honestly, this admission that you rooted for Georgetown has me questioning a lot of things about our relationship. This is a pretty tragic moment. I'm gonna have to marinate on this one, man, because it is 9:58 a.m. Pacific Coast time, and Georgetown still sucks. He is Danny O'Neill. I am Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. You'll hear us tomorrow.